You're listening to Market Boldly, a podcast for executives, brand managers, branch managers, marketing directors, and sales managers in distribution who want to build their brand, stimulate sales, and drive profits. I'm your host, Katrina Olson. Thanks for tuning in. My guest today is Carmen Wilhelm, Vice President of Marketing at Van Meter Inc., a Cedar Rapids, Iowa-based electrical distributor with 15 locations in Iowa, Illinois, and Nebraska. Carmen has her APR accreditation in public relations from the Public Relations Society of America, PRSA. She's been with Van Meter for just over 6 years. Prior to that, she worked in research, product development, and product management for Alliant Energy of Madison, Wisconsin. So I've known Carmen digitally for, I think, just over a year, but I've seen her company's work, I've seen Van Meter's work, and specifically her marketing department's work for more than 10 years as a judge for the Best of the Best Marketing Competition from TED Magazine. I'm always impressed with what you guys do and the research and all the work that goes into your entries and preparing them and all the work that goes into your marketing efforts. So I'd just like to say, first of all, welcome, and welcome to Illinois. I understand you have a new Chicago location. So welcome to Illinois.
Thank you so much, Katrina. It's my pleasure to be your guest today. I always look forward to a good marketing conversation.
Well, I can't tell you how many times I've mentioned Van Meter's work to my clients, when I used to teach, to my students, and even when I do workshops now and other marketers. So we're going to talk mostly about branding today, but as with everything, I know that involves a lot of research, so I'm sure we'll touch on that as well. I know you had an effort a couple years ago, but can you tell me how the Van Meter brand has evolved since you've been with the company?
In these recent years, we've had significant growth. The kind of growth and diversification in both the products and the markets that we're in, that it's really prompted us as an organization to very purposefully understand and improve our brand efforts. And that journey started back in the 2014-2015 timeframe. We, again, were growing rapidly. We were taking market share. We felt in our gut that we had a good thing going. You know, we were successful. We had good feedback from supplier partners, from customers, and that type of thing. But I don't know that we had a really well-defined brand, that we really knew who we were in current state. But even more importantly, I don't know that we knew what we wanted to be in the future state. We really said our organization's important, and we want to make sure that we have this purposeful, intentional brand strategy in place going forward.
And as with most things you do, you started with research, correct?
We absolutely started with research. So the first thing that we did was really, we looked at two different groups. One was our customers, and the other was really our employee owners. And we went to them and did some surveys. We also did some focus groups and really tried to understand. We have a lot that we offer them. We tried to understand what was most important to them and really what resonated, what they thought of when they thought of Van Meter, how they felt about working with us. And that exercise was in some ways very validating because we anticipated some of the responses that we received, but in other ways, it was also enlightening in terms of how they prioritized certain things and really what they thought of when they thought of Van Meter.
And you're talking about your employees and customers.
Right. And we felt it was equally important to do the research with our employee owners, because our employee owners are really the ones who deliver our customer experience. It's important for us to have them on board and aligned with what our brand is, because they are responsible for delivering customer experience. And additionally, we know that as we continue to grow, as we continue to take market share and move into new markets, that maintaining some of the talent, retaining it, and recruiting new talent into our organization, the right people to deliver on our brand promise, we're going to be critical to our success. And then out of that research, we really took two paths in terms of which message pillars and approaches we would take, but they definitely are related.
And how has that move into the Chicago market been? I'm curious because Chicago is my larger neighbor to the north. So how did that occur and how has that gone for you guys? There's a huge talent pool up there. That's a wonderful thing for you.
Yeah, it is. You know, 2016 was a really interesting year for Van Meter because we had two unique, what I would call branding or market opportunities. One of them was an acquisition that we made in the Chicago market, where we were able to come into a company that had an existing culture and an existing brand and really think about and embrace how we were going to bring that into the Van Meter fold. And then the second opportunity was a brand new branch location in Omaha, Nebraska. So we expanded both east and west in 2016. And that was a brand new startup for us in a really mature market. We had been doing some business in that market, but really didn't have brick and mortar there. So pretty much a clean slate in terms of how we branded ourselves. So two very unique opportunities. I think the fact that we're really set foundationally in what our messages were and what we want our brand to be, that it made those efforts pretty seamless. If we didn't have that foundation, it would have been very challenging to try to bring, both of those unique situations into our brand.
Yeah, those are two very different challenges. So you're saying your efforts in, was it 2015, really laid the groundwork and helped ease those transitions to the acquired company and the new location?
Yes, as well as within, the existing organization that had primarily been made up of branches in throughout Iowa. The research really showed us what to hone in on, what to focus on. We did some message testing. And did some baseline studies so that we'd really defined what the brand was. We developed brand guidelines, photography standards, print standards, message pillars, those types of things. And then also developed a strategy for rolling that out and aligning our employees to it, as well as how we would execute it to some of our external stakeholders, such as customers and suppliers and community partners.
Yeah, and that's really important. So many CEOs and presidents and members of the C-suite, want to know, is our marketing working? How far have we come? But unless you do the initial pre-testing and initial research to set some benchmarks and know where you are, how do you know how far you've come? So you're very fortunate to be in a company that allows you to do that.
We are. And because we did that baseline testing back in early 2015, I'm excited that we just wrapped up a repeat study early this year in 2017, where we're testing those same messages to see if we've moved the needle and made some progress. I just met with a member of my team earlier and the results are really encouraging. So we're excited to share those numbers with our executive leaders. It's very, again, validating that we are doing the right things in terms of positioning our brand in the marketplace. It's also validating that we've been successful at aligning our employees. I can't stress enough that, your brand is so much more than the marketing team's responsibility. It's really every employee in your organization. And because we worked really hard to align our employees, they're the ones that deliver on our brand promise every day. And so we can't take all of that credit. We gave them the framework and the strategy and rolled out a plan, but they're the individuals who really deliver that customer experience each and every day. Every touch point that they have with our stakeholders is so critical. Every phone call, every email, every interaction, in terms of a joint sales call, as well as every ad and billboard and online message. But it's really every touch point. Are we consistent and, meeting customer expectations that they feel they know and understand what they're going to get when they work with Van Meter?
Yeah, and I know when I saw the results of that branding effort in the best of the best judging for TED Magazine, we were so impressed. All of the judges were so impressed about not just about the research but that you involved your employees, and the pictures in your brochures and website were all real employees, which was kind of refreshing. We see so much stock photography, that was cool, and it wasn't just. It wasn't gratuitous. I mean, you obviously, we could tell from your strategy that you had really involved them and talked them. And I assume that's sort of, that's part of who you are, your culture. You are an employee-owned company. So that is, as you said, that's absolutely necessary. Another point that I appreciate you making, until you really try to learn and dig a little deeper, you don't, everybody thinks marketing is, you know, like I said, the logo and the type font and the imagery, and it is so, so much more. And it goes, it's something that runs, it's like a tree that reaches throughout your organization with vines and branches. And, you know, literally, as you said, is expressed every time you have any kind of communication with your customer. You know, it might even be the uniforms you wear, how, you know, the what you say as people walk in the door, walk out of the door. And I think that's an important point that I'd like, I guess, anybody who's listening to understand, you know, who's maybe new to marketing or kind of got thrown into this, that it's not just the outward appearance of what you do. It's a culture that runs throughout the company. So another question for you. When you embarked on that effort in 2014, what were some of your goals? What were some of your objectives going into that?
You know, our number one goal was really the employee alignment. I mentioned that, you know, they are the ones who bring our brand alive. They're the ones who deliver it on it every day. It was critical that we have them understand our brand promise and that they understood the role and responsibility that they played in fulfilling and bringing that brand to life. Employee engagement was really a number one goal for us. We wanted people using the same lingo and understanding where we're headed as a company. We went so far as to develop what we call an anatomy of an employee owner document. And it's really a fun document that sort of explains the expectations, sort of how we roll as employees at Van Meter. And it really, it doesn't dictate to them how they go about their day-to-day job, but it really tells them sort of behaviorally the things that that are non-negotiable in terms of being an employee owner at Van Meter, and it really set that stage. So that was our first goal. Our second goal, and this one probably plays more to the marketing side of things, was really to have consistent and compelling collateral, that the messaging was consistent and visually consistent, so that when people saw it, all of our materials appeared to be part of a family. They knew it was Van Meter, even if they caught it at a glance. It was everything from putting employee owners' photographs on business cards to developing belief murals that are posted in each of our facilities to remind employee owners. It's consistent messaging and visuals across all the channels that we work in, having measurable campaigns, very creative but consistent marketing materials. We had been, previously we'd been consistent about, you know, the use of our logo and colors, but we really elevated that to a whole new level in terms of what we learned through our research and really tried to incorporate those key pillar messages into all of our work. And we hold each other very accountable to that. Everything that we read, we kind of audit and check over and look and say, you know, is this a good representation of our brand? Does this hit one or more of our key messages? And if it doesn't, then it's really not hitting the mark and it probably needs to be reworked.
You know, that also keeps you from spinning your wheels too. If you start going down a path that isn't in line with your brand and doesn't support who you are, then you abandon it. You know, you don't want to spin your wheels and spend time on something that doesn't support your brand. So do you ever find yourself as a department ever starting like, oh, somebody has a great idea, why don't we do this? And you're like, well, is that really true to our brand? And should we be doing it? Does that ever happen to you guys? Or are you more disciplined than I might be?
I would say that this brand effort, this brand journey that we've been on the last couple of years has absolutely stepped up our discipline. It's also given us the opportunity to have what I'll call some very good but fierce conversations about the things that add value from a marketing perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's really provided the framework for us to sort of hold out there as our standard if something doesn't fit or it's not part of a strategic initiative. It's allowed us to be more focused and accomplish more with the resources that we have, both financial as well as people resources.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. I hear from a lot of distributors of all sizes when I talk to their marketing people. It's like, oh, I get so bogged down on things like, you know, just the little day-to-day tasks that come up. Or maybe they're even coordinating an entire digital newsletter or something that nobody reads, you know, but they're doing it because somebody asked them to a long time ago and they never stepped back and said, should we still be doing this? Does this make sense today in what, you know, with what we know? And I think if more distributor marketers took the time and invested the time up front, I'm actually working with some clients who are doing this right now, invest that time up front to say, you know, discover, if you have to, your brand, who we are, why do we exist, what reinforces that brand. I think some of those little projects that take away your time and eat up your energy and time would fall by the wayside. So I think that just making that initial effort, and you can use that too when somebody asks you to make some ridiculous request, and this happens, it happens in every business. Like, hey, we should do this event and go here and go. You're like, that's not really consistent with our plan. I mean, not to say a plan and your brand platform is a straitjacket, but it certainly, as you said, should guide you. And I think, as you said, it focuses your time and your efforts and your money and your people on the things that will produce results for you. So I think that's important. One other thing that I want to talk about that you had mentioned in another conversation was that this is an ongoing effort. Branding is not something you do once or twice, and then 10 years later, you do it again. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. It is an ongoing effort. And, one of the things culturally at Van Meter, we really believe that feedback is a gift. And so when you do research or you do message testing for your brand, it's really feedback that you're getting from your stakeholders. And, there needs to be a willingness in all of that. If you're going to invest the time and effort into collecting these thoughts and perceptions, what's your willingness as an organization to then take action on them? When I look at, I have peers in the industry, and we'll get into marketing conversations, and I think a company can fall into two pitfalls. Either one, they're not willing to take that chance and invest the money up front to do the research, which is a shame, because then the efforts are, you're kind of winging a prayer, kind of hoping that you're making the right assumptions and putting the right things together. But secondarily, sometimes they'll do the research, but then fail to execute effectively on the findings. There has to be a willingness not only to find out what the perceptions are, but to then take action on them. And I'm really fortunate that Van Meter has an attitude of, this isn't just a one and done project. Hey, we did the study. We know we've defined what our brand is. We continue to invest in understanding our brand, in getting feedback from our customers, in even the creative work that we're doing today. We know that we need to be consistent to our brand, but yet we've got to keep it fresh and we've got to keep it relevant. I would say that today, more than ever before, consumer expectations change faster and faster. And some of that's due to, high-tech digital world that we live in. So staying relevant, keeping your brand fresh, requires ongoing investment of people, ongoing investment of dollars. And Van Meter, we have an aggressive growth strategy. We know who and what we want to be in the future. We have a project right now called Van Meter 2025, and we've set some targets out there. Well, from a marketing standpoint, we need to make sure that the brand takes that journey into the future as well, and that we stay consistent and true to what matters to our stakeholders, but that we stay relevant and stay fresh.
And I think that's the challenge. You do all this work, you know who you are, you know what you want to be in the future, but how do you keep it fresh? And, sometimes a new product, I suppose, will help you with that, especially a lot of the Internet of Things products and some of the new technology that's coming along. And I know that has caused, and it's kind of like what we saw happen with LED and energy efficiency. It's like, oh, now we can be the energy experts. You can't twist in the wind, but you have to, like you said, update and adapt to the changes and obviously, more importantly, to what your customers want and expect from you. So anything else on the horizon for you guys? What's new coming up for Van Meter in terms of marketing?
From a marketing standpoint, again, since we've got that strong framework, we do continually go back and check to make sure that we're hitting the mark and that we're moving the needle on what we're doing from a branding effort. I would say, as we look to the future, some of the challenges that I see for us, or what's on my wish list, is not just doing customer loyalty surveys and brand perception studies every 18 to 24 months. It's how can we be maybe more timely in getting immediate feedback on customer experiences. So we're having some dialogue about that right now. And then it seems to be a big topic of conversation within the marketing industry, but really we've developed a brand for our company. We because we've diversified, we serve contractors and industrial customers and commercial and institutional. And so we're trying to delve a little bit deeper, not only into those customer types, but into the vertical markets that we serve. Is it healthcare? Is it, food and beverage? Is it, different manufacturing types? And how can we take it even down a notch further and be very customized in how we deliver our brand and deliver the customer experience to them? Like I said, those customer expectations are escalating, and I think they're going to demand and require it of us, that personalization and that really, hey, we understand your needs, we understand your pain, and we are the service provider that can meet those. And so we're trying to take it down to that next level and starting to develop what I would call some customer profiles and some journey mapping and just really understanding what their experience is.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I started to see that in this industry maybe, I'm going to say, 5 to 7 years ago. Some companies were starting to do that and look into those vertical markets and how to reach them. But it was mostly, honestly, it was mostly like, oh, here's a special direct mail postcard for, this industry or that industry. And it's going to, as you said, they're going to demand more than that. Those industries, they want you, like you said, they want to know that you understand their industry and their wants and needs and pain points. And I think it's going to require more than a direct mail piece. It's going to require really getting into their business and understand and which opens up doors of opportunity for you as a company for sales and relationships. So here's a question that always comes up, especially when I talk to someone like you who has some resources and some staff and, probably a decent budget. How do you do this if you're a, let's say $10 million business, or you're a three-person marketing department or a single-person marketing department. I see a lot of that in this industry too. And so what you guys have done is very sophisticated and very high level. How could a small distributor take these principles and apply them to their company?
The first piece of advice that I would have is, I don't know that the challenge is any different for a small company than it is for a large company. You simply have access to more resources. So it becomes even more critical for a smaller company to be laser focused and understand what their brand is and what they're trying to accomplish, even than that larger organization that's more resource rich. So the first thing I would do is to have a conversation with my executive leadership. Their buy-in is going to be critical. They have to help drive this effort. They have to understand it and want it and be able to support it and allow you as maybe that one or two person team to really take the time needed to gather the information, to develop a strategy and then to execute on it effectively, meaning put some of those distractions aside, some of those, hey, I need this or I need that, and really have their support in that effort. And then, develop a plan, put a timeline to it. What is it going to cost? And if you can't accomplish all of it internally, there are absolutely companies and agencies. In fact, Van Meter, outsources several different things, and especially of this nature. And when it comes to the research, get the help that you need. Put a plan together. Put a proposal together. And then start to engage other leaders within your organization too. It's going to be critical that your sales leaders and operations and every corner of your organization understands that they play a role in your brand, and that understanding what your current state is, how people perceive you, is really critical to how you go about marketing yourself and how you go about determining who and what you want to be in the future.
And I think, as you said, you indicated, you really have to make a business case. If you just go into your CEO or your president, like, hey, here are all the things I want to do. All they can hear is, you want to hire people to do what? And it's going to cost me how much? And you're going to have to take time away from those T-shirt orders that are so important. And those hats and those events and counter days that we've been doing for years. So I think you really do have to do your homework. I guess if I were in that position, I would talk to other people who are doing it. And you have to sell it. I think, especially in some of these smaller, less aggressive companies, you probably have to sell and say, no, here's what's going to happen as a result. If we can focus our marketing and invest our time and energy in the things we're going to see this, we could see this kind of return. It's not all, clouds and unicorns. We do this for a reason, so that we can get results, And I think, as you said, and I've written several articles about this on LinkedIn, you've probably seen them. It's so critical to, if you don't have the time or energy or background or whatever, you can find people. I mean, I'm working on a research project right now where it's been a little laborious to get to people, but I'm interviewing 20 key customers and I'm doing 30-minute interviews with them. And at the end, I'll do a report and I'll take it to my client, you know, and there'll be some good insights there. Now, I'd like to, you're a research person, so I'll say that's not, you know, what is it called? Generalizable to a larger population when you do that kind of research. That's qualitative stuff. But I imagine we'll find some issues that maybe then we could follow up with more quantitative research and say, okay, let's see how many people feel this way. We know this is an issue. Let's see how big of an issue it is. There's so many people who can help you with that. It's not easy to do on your own. And especially, again, if you're being pulled all different directions and you don't have a plan yet. So I know it's tough. And I talk to these people. I know it's tough for those small departments. But you know, even just taking some of your customers to lunch and just listening, I mean, don't you think that would be a good place to start too, just beginning to understand your customer?
I think it would be a great place to start. It doesn't have to be, you know, formal quantitative research that you do to get the voice of your customer. So listening to them, listening to their ideas, some of the most innovative things that we've done at Van Meter have been suggestions or ideas that came from our customers where it's like, oh, it would be great if you could do this. Well, what if we could do that? And you go back and you say, well, how can we make this happen? You know, would it be safe to do this? Can we be profitable doing this? How would we have to staff it? But I think we get so focused on the day to day that sometimes that broader thinking of, you know, what do we want to be and where do we want to take this? We struggle to make that happen. And so listening to your customers as well as other stakeholders, sharing best practices, really knowing what it is that they need and want from you is so critical. We have a lot of discussion. Our leadership gets out and visits with our employee owners all the time. They're a little closer day to day with the customers that we serve. And so we talk with them. We have a lot of discussion about what we do as a distributor. It's not that unique from other customers in terms of the actual what. Pick, packing, and shipping product. Mm-hmm. We take it a step further and look at how we do it. Yes, we try to be really innovative and we try to be efficient. We try to introduce some new things here and there. At the end of the day, though, what we do, there's lots of other distributors, and how we do it, you know, if you study us, you could absolutely, somebody else could replicate it. For us, a lot of it comes down to why we do what we do. And I'm an avid reader, so I don't know if you've read his book, but Simon Sinek has a great book. It's titled Start With Why.
Hmm.
And at Van Meter, we do a lot of why do we do what we do? And both our research as well as conversations with various stakeholders, it always came back to our people. It's the expertise that they bring. It's the relationships that they build. It's their desire to make a difference. It's their willingness to put in the extra effort to, you know, provide great customer service. That's what our true differentiator is.
Mm-hmm.
And so helping them recognize why they do what they do is really kind of where the magic happens. I look at myself and say, you know, did I grow up saying, I want to do marketing for an electrical distributor? And I'll just tell you that wasn't the dream. But I am excited to go to work every single day because I know I'm empowered to make a difference. I know we're helping provide solutions that change, you know, how industrial customers do things. And we're an ESOP, so, you know, the harder we work and we benefit from that. And so why I do what I do is really to help others. You know, after all of our research, the positioning statement that we came up with for the company is creating lasting value for those we serve. It's so simple, but one of the things I love most about it is if you break it down and you talk about creating lasting value, well, lasting value means different things to different people. And we've empowered our employees to build relationships and understand what lasting value is down to a person, and then empowered them you know, to serve them, and whether that's a community partner or a supplier or a customer. And it's a fabulous feeling when you know that you're creating that type of value for somebody. It's what brings them back. It's what grows your market share, and it's what makes you successful. So it's less about what we do or even how we do it. It's why we do it. And so, you know, like I said, that thought leadership comes from Simon Sinek, but it's something that we've really embraced at Van Meter.
And that's part of your mission. I mean, I suppose that turns up when you talk about your mission and your vision for the company as well. True.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, do you have any final thoughts or advice for about branding or anything for marketers in electrical distribution or any other kind of, you know, distribution industry? I know you've talked a lot about branding today and research. Anything else that you just sort of like to throw out there? And I wish we had, you know, I wish we had an hour, but I don't know if anybody would listen to us for an hour. Maybe they would, but anything else you'd just sort of like to wrap up with to tell your fellow marketers?
I would just close with, you know, the importance of having a plan, because it really does define your work, makes it measurable. You can share that success. And probably the most important thing is, and hopefully you have a culture that it's okay to do this, but allow yourself to fail every once in a while. Mm-hmm. As long as you're doing it within the spirit of your brand and you're not, you know, going completely rogue. But sometimes creativity and allowing yourself to fail. I mean, you've heard the saying that if you don't fail occasionally, you're not trying hard enough.
Right.
And we really take that to heart. It's like, how can we keep pushing ourselves to be better? And not every idea you have is going to, you know, manifest itself in the way that you envisioned it. But allow yourself, you know, push yourself, think outside that proverbial box and make it okay to fail. And I guess, you know, I look at the name of your podcast, Market Boldly. My advice would be market boldly.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to fail or try new things. I think I used to tell my kids that when they were learning like a new skill, like rollerblading or something. It's like, well, if you didn't fall down, you're not trying very hard. But it's so true.
It is. I mean, you know, trying the new things. I remember when we first came back to the company and said, our people are our biggest differentiator. We want to feature our people. And it was like, oh my gosh, so you want to and use our people? Well, yes, we do. And initially we had people that were very reluctant. You want to do what? Now we have people coming to us saying they've seen how we've used it. They're very proud of it. They come and they'll say, you know what, if you ever need anybody, I'd be happy to be featured in that piece.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, we have customers that say, hey, we saw so-and-so in the ad. We love it. And that was a little bit of a risk for us. No stock. We feature our own people.
Yeah, I like that about it. And it's just so much more personal. Well, I'm so glad we finally got to talk. And I can't remember, I meet so many people. I don't think we've met in person, have we, at Adventure?
I don't think so. So we'll have to make that happen this year.
Yeah, let's do that. So thank you so much for your time and for your sharing your expertise and thoughts with me and our listeners at Market Boldly.
Excellent. Thank you.
My guest today was Carmen Wilhelm, Vice President of Marketing for Van Meter Inc., based in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, an electrical distributor with 15 locations throughout Iowa and now Illinois and Nebraska.
You've been listening to Market Boldly, a podcast for members of the distribution channel who want to build their brand, stimulate sales, and drive profits. I'm your host, Katrina Olson. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join us again. Find this and future episodes, including show notes, at marketboldly.com and on my website at katrinaolson.com.